Hello and welcome back. You're listening to Crescent Moon Kids podcast, where we talk about all things parenting and raising children. Today, I want to talk about practical life. Now, I did an episode on this topic early in my podcasting days, probably the first year, about 3 years, 4 years ago, maybe. So you might want to have a re-listen to that, but I thought it was worthy of an updated version. So what is practical life? And in relation to child development, practical is defined in the dictionary as basic, useful, purposeful, and life means the way of living. Practical life exercises are just that. They're physical activities and exercises offered to a child so that he or she can learn how to do living activities in a purposeful way. So in a Montessori classroom, practical life is the very foundation of everything. So if you think about your house and needing to have that solid foundation before you build upon the top of that to make sure that it's stable and steady, this is very similar to having a foundation of practical skills before they sort of branch out into other areas, including future academic achievements. Now, this is true for all kids, no matter where they attend school. But if your kids are not getting a practical life experience at their school, you can definitely create an optimal experience at home. You can set up jobs, chores, practical activities that will really help them in this endeavor. So one of the obvious benefits of practical life is motor development. Children develop large motor control before they're able to handle small objects and then develop their fine motor. Muscle development and refinement advances from the core out to the extremities. So you can kind of think about, general to more and more specific. Things like sweeping with a broom, dusting, raking leaves, washing the car with large circular motions, lifting objects, maybe a bucket of something. Carrying a slightly heavy thing is always good for kids. This allows them to develop their large motor skills. And if their core muscles are weak, then it's hard to develop fine motor strength and control as well. It's very, very connected. Another benefit of practical life activities is gaining a spatial awareness and then ease of movement. And especially when you think about how we have to navigate amongst other people, if you're out driving among other drivers and cars and pedestrians. And so this is a way for children to begin to sort of understand where they are in relation to everything else around them. They need to be able to navigate an environment filled with people, objects, other activities, and they must learn to refine their motor skills to become a functioning learner and then ultimately a member of society, if you think about it in that kind of broad term. I usually tell parents that children must learn to walk with ease and grace without bumping things, without bumping people. They can determine how heavy an object is by picking it up over and over, and that will give them the information to exert that just right amount of effort and control. And this is called proprioception. If you're interested in that, it's pretty fascinating. They need to be able to refine their eye-hand coordination. They need to balance when they're sitting or standing, walking or running. They need to learn how to walk on uneven terrain so that they can stay balanced without tripping or falling down. And they also need to learn to control all of their body movements to fit the current need, the situation that they're in, each moment of their day. A lot of kids today have weak core muscles. They have kind of low stamina. They have a lack of physical endurance and really overall low muscle tone. And I think there are several reasons for this, what this kind of phenomenon we're seeing in recent years with children, but I do believe it's due in part to being in front of screens. And this is probably exponentially more than in years past and definitely in decades past. Now, especially after the whole COVID crisis, I think we see a lot more of that. And once that sedentary lifestyle is established, it can really become a habit, and then it's really hard to kind of shift that, and physical activities can go by the wayside very quickly. So this is a challenge to all parents. Get your kids outside every day. Give them opportunities to take safe risks in not only practical life activities, but also in play by jumping, climbing, riding wheeled equipment, steering. So many kids are not encouraged to play or work outside or seek adventure. And, you know, I understand parents are afraid. They're afraid for safety, and definitely in more ways than one. And I get that. And it's a real phenomenon in today's culture and totally understandable. But it is sometimes creating a deficit in the way that kids are developing. I recently read, I think it was the Canadian Pediatric Society had a warning about kids and risky behavior. And they assert that kids are not getting enough what they called, quote, risky playtime. And this is based on probably some observations and some other information that they've been kind of noting. Kids need to develop their own risk assessment, whether they're performing a task or climbing rocks out in nature, whatever it is. The Canadian Pediatric Society touts that the benefits of developing risk assessment through what they call, quote, risky play or work are, and here are the benefits, confidence, problem solving, critical thinking, which can lend to mental stability. And also, I wanted to add physical development, such as balance and strength building and coordination and stamina, some of the things that I mentioned before. So really, children today are not taking risks. They're not in positions of being able to do that. They're not put in places where there is sort of a danger, if you will, that is not completely out of line. And I know danger is there's a connotation around that word, but children need to be challenged. Their bodies need to be challenged. Their minds need to be challenged. And this can happen by just simply climbing over a log in the forest, climbing up a tree to sit on a low branch, picking up heavy sticks, limbs that might have fallen out of the trees, pushing a big wheelbarrow, or raking a huge pile of leaves. And I think, you know, many kids are not even getting outside simply because parents are not able to facilitate these activities. But I want to really challenge you to think of ways that you can do this. And again, another benefit of practical life activities is the development of critical thinking. So having problem-solving experiences in nature combined with large motor movements really helps kids develop so many skills. And, you know, we've talked about this: coordination, concentration, independence. So again, get outside with your kids when you can. Relax your fears just a bit. Let them just really play, explore, hike when you can, climb up places where you feel like they're not going to really get hurt. Get outside and work with them. Lift and build. Let them garden with you if you garden, trim the hedges, rake the leaves, whatever you like to do out in your yard or your garden. Digging the soil, carrying rocks, lifting heavy buckets of water. If you have to water plants, instead of getting your hose, get a bucket and let them carry water, because this really will help them. It will benefit them. And children must be able to focus and concentrate for lengths of time before they can do anything that we consider, quote, academic. And this is a byproduct of the practical life experiences. They learn how to focus while they're engaged in these activities, and it just helps guide them toward greater concentration and then ultimately success. And young children are naturally interested in activities that they've watched their grown-ups do. And this is why Dr. Montessori began using what she called practical life exercises. It allows the children to perform activities of daily life. And again, it helps them develop so many skills, and it helps orient them to their environment, and it helps them develop a sense of responsibility. And it's just a common sense approach. And any age child can help with practical activities in the home. During the child's sensitive period, and this is between birth and age six, they're constructing the inner building blocks of their person. And it is said that, I think what there was a quote about everything you know you learn in kindergarten or something like that. And it's really important for the child to participate in activities to prepare him or her for living successfully in their environment. It allows them to grow independently, use their motor skills, and then, you know, analyzing difficulties and learning how to problem solve is really, really critical. So while most of us understand this on a cognitive level, I think sometimes we forget or we don't understand exactly how and why the experiences of practical living are so critically important and why it's imperative that kids master so many of these skills before anything else. Now, one of the real hard things as a parent is learning to allow your child to struggle. This is another heavy loaded word. It's really hard for most of us. And we don't want our children to be upset. We don't want them to be sad. We go to great lengths sometimes to make sure they're happy. And obviously no conscientious parent wants to intentionally stress out their child or upset your child. But the reality is that your child is going to meet challenges along the way. And how they respond to those is in part later in their life is in part how you will help them at the young ages. And they respond to the challenges with feelings. And we really want to help them with those feelings when they're young so that they can develop a healthy pattern of responses. Because when a child comes through a struggle, and by struggle, I mean, you know, maybe figuring out how to zip their zipper by trying over and over and over, or doing, a math problem and it, you know, getting it wrong 10 times. And then the 11th time they figure it out. We equate that to the butterfly who must struggle to emerge from its chrysalis. If it doesn't get that opportunity to push out with a lot of effort and it has to pump its wings, then it's going to be deformed and unable to fly. So like, let's say you see the butterfly struggling and you're going to try to open up the chrysalis prematurely, it's going to cause the butterfly to probably be deformed. And we definitely don't want that. And that's obviously symbolism, but we don't want that for our children. They have to exert effort and they need to develop the ability to think critically about everything that they encounter. And if we jump in to rescue or figure out their challenges for them, they're not going to have that opportunity to develop thinking necessary that will adjust their activity to fit the demand or the situation. And you might think, well, like when they get older and in school, well, if I just get tutoring or I drill them, then they'll be academically on target. And often that's the opposite of what they need. They needed that real practical, critical thinking early on before they get to those academic challenges. So children who are lacking in practical skills often do struggle academically, and they can be bright, but if they're lacking in motor planning or problem solving or dexterity or coordination or even strength, they're going to be less likely to succeed academically. Maybe they learn how to organize their playroom, and this can help them develop skills they need to manage their classes and the work that's due as they get older. Sequencing the steps in a recipe can transfer to the process of coding or learning geometry maybe when they get older. Unloading the dishwasher and putting the dishes in a proper space in the kitchen allows the child to understand sorting and classifying, sequencing, and ultimately organization again. Creating a grocery or household needs list might give your child the experience with understanding the weekly needs of the family and then an opportunity to learn the value of the products the family chooses. They can get spelling practice from that. They can get a sense of order. Maybe they list the items in the order that they will find them in the store. So it's another really big way to help them think critically. Obviously, there are unlimited ways kids can engage in practical living activities in the home. I really want to urge you to give this some deep thought, that so you will be able to implement some important practical life exercises and activities for your kids. Now, they might grumble and they might moan, especially if they're a little bit older, but they will definitely thank you later in life when they meet challenges head on and have the skills to think critically and solve their own problems and become an independent thinker. And their life success is going to be due in part to your parenting efforts now and your ability to allow them the opportunities to have practical life experiences. So as always, thanks so much for listening, and until next time.